Go. My name is Andrew, and this is the Who Dat Discussion, our New England Saints podcast, where we talk about all Saints news, opinions, and reactions. So before we get into some Saints-Ravens talk and some possible trade scenarios with Patrick Peterson and some rumors swirling around there, I just want to say, if you like this podcast and you haven't followed us already, please follow us on Twitter at the Who Dat This, on Instagram at Who Dat Discussion, and also on Podomatic, we are at the Who Dat Discussion on there. And then please subscribe to our YouTube, Google Play, Spotify, and iTunes channels on there. We are at the Who Dat Discussion on there. Please leave reviews, you know, rate our podcast, leave comments. All that stuff is just really, really good for us. You know, obviously, I love connecting with the Who Dat Nation, and you know, just it's great to see, you know, the reviews, the comments. Those are all good stuff. And then even if you can just rate the podcast, that'd be really big. So we're doing good, and what we need to work on, that would just be really, really big there. So let's just get right into some Saints news. So we'll start off with some kind of breaking news. I mean, it only came out about 20 minutes ago. So Patrick Peterson, according to Adam Schefter, wants out of Arizona desperately. So he wants out of there, you know, he wants out of there. And the Saints are on the top of his list, according to his cousin and CBS Sports insider Bryant McFadden. So I mean, looking at that, I mean, that's gonna make a lot of rumors swirl. And obviously, we talked about last week what I would give up. So I mean, look, second and fourth, I'm still sticking towards that. But then there was another thing just came out like only about 5 minutes ago by Around the NFL, which is a show on NFL Network, and they said that the GM for the Cardinals, he said that they don't want to give up Peterson, and they're probably not going to unless a deal blows them away. So here's the thing: I don't think the Saints will blow them away. So I guess right now we're on a waiting game to see if the Cardinals GM is going to give in here. I don't think the Saints, I mean, look, as much as I think Peterson's a great player, he would be an amazing fit for this team. Just looking at it, the way his veteran presence could help this team, I feel, in the two-minute drill, which we'll get to later. But also, the stuff that he can do opposite Lattimore would just be, you know, incredible. This team needs to go to a Super Bowl. I feel like he is kind of that missing piece on that defense that, you know, that will bring them to the promised land. Now, will they do it? No, that's something else. That's something else you obviously have to look at. I mean, the Saints are at the top of his list, but that doesn't really matter. It's not like it's free agency. You know, the Cardinals are not going to give us a discount because they're at the top of Peterson's list. I don't think that really matters that much, but I mean, it shows that he wants to go there, and that's one of the names maybe he told the GM, you know, to get a trade with. But I just look, I mean, they're gonna have to probably give up the second round, and that means you're completely blowing up a draft. Do you want to do that? I don't think, you know, Loomis is gonna want to do that. Maybe a lot of Saints fans would want to do that, but you know, you would have to be completely sure that this is the Saints year, this is their season, if you're gonna do this move. Because look, if this is the move to bring to the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl, you're gonna do it 100%, you know. And you, I would give up, you know, if you knew that this was gonna be the missing piece, you know, 100%, then you gotta do this trade. But then, is it really? How good is Peterson compared to Ken Crawley? Now, these are all things that we're gonna obviously have to assess going to the trade deadline. Now, we don't have to get this trade done today, tomorrow, you know, even next week. We have to get it done by about a week and a half. So we have a week and a half to do this trade. But, you know, just looking at it, I feel like there's a lot of questions to be answered with this trade. I mean, I think obviously, you know, Patrick Peterson would be a huge upgrade for the Saints, but how much of an upgrade would that be, you know, if it's going to give up a lot? So, you know, a second and a fourth, that's what I think. But I don't even think that would be the deal. I think maybe even a second and a second. You know, and I don't know if this team wants to do that. I mean, look, when you're getting that good of a player, you may want to. Also, just another move was not by us, by the Cowboys. They got Murray Cooper, and they go up a first round. So that means, you know, a lot of, you know, markets, you're going to have to give up a lot of picks to get good players. I think we're going to have to see that. If, you know, we're going to get Peterson, especially because they're hesitant to give up Peterson. They're not 100% giving him up. So I feel like, you know, as much as it's such a match, you know, scheme-wise, and just, you know, he's from New Orleans, went to, you know, LSU, but I just don't see, I don't see Loomis, you know, just pulling the trigger on there. But I think that's, you know, kind of enough with some Saints news. I mean, we obviously coming out of the game, there's not that much Saints news. Usually we cover, you know, more Saints news on the next episode before, you know, the games. But, you know, I think this is definitely something to look at with the trades. I mean, obviously just come out, you know, a ton of people are talking about it. But I feel like, you know, that's my take on it. You know, sometimes you got to look at it. To me, it'd be a good trade, not an amazing trade. And I think it could backfire on you pretty quickly. But it also could be the trade that brings you to a championship. And that's why I think you kind of have to at least try, you know, at least call the Cardinals, go to put a good deal in, and maybe you can get it done. But I just feel like, you know, if you're looking at Loomis. Loomis is not the guy to make trades at the trade deadline. Really never has. You know, even though he has been aggressive at times, and I feel like, you know, obviously, you look at NFL Sports Update, I think, on Twitter, they said that the Saints and Eagles are going to be really, really aggressive in this trade deadline. So that's obviously something to look out for. But I think, you know, we're going to have to see it. I think see it to believe it, in my opinion. That's why I feel like, you know, really is there. Until, you know, Adam Schefter's reporting that the Saints are really in on Peterson, I don't think that he's, you know, really on our radar. Look, obviously players, you know, his cousin or, like, you know, past players want him on the Saints, but I feel like just looking at there hasn't been a huge source saying that until someone from the New Orleans media that's, like, a Saints beat writer or, you know, a whole reporter for the NFL, like Rappaport or Schefter. I don't think it's all just 100% true. I think you have to look at it sometimes, you know, look between the lines sometimes. I mean, Brian McFadden probably knows, you know, Patrick Peterson's cousin, probably has talked to him about this, but I don't know if it's exactly the case. I mean, just looking at it, I feel like that's kind of the news with him. I mean, you know, looking at Peterson, I think that's what it's going to be. I think, I just don't think Loomis is going to pull the trigger. And I think, you know, Loomis is definitely going to get influenced by Peyton and Jeff Ireland. You know, Peyton said a couple weeks ago that, you know, they're probably not going to add anyone. You know, the fixes with the, you know, cornerbacks that's going to come from in-house. And Ireland's a big draft guy, so I don't think he wants to give up a lot of draft picks. So I feel like that's kind of what it is there. But, you know, that's just, I think, all we're going to talk about. We'll see definitely more later in the week what the real story is here. So now on to some Saints-Ravens talk. So the Saints won for the fifth straight game. They are now 5-1, 3-0 on the road, which I think is a very noteworthy stat. I mean, looking at it, this team, we'll just go right into some notes. This team won 24-23 off of, I mean, you know, a missed extra point by Justin Tucker. So, I mean, obviously, it looked like someone tweeted it out, and I was completely agree with them. It kind of did feel like that. Tom Benson came down and, you know, blew that ball, you know, right, because it was just going straight, and it sliced right out. You know, the announcer said it looked like his golf swing. That's how kind of golf swings are. I mean, if they're really bad, they'll just slice right, slice left. They look like they're going straight and just slice. You know, footballs don't really do that, but I mean, hey, it happened. And I mean, look, I mean, the announcer completely jinxed him. He said, you know, he's never missed an extra point before this. This would be a bad time to do it, and then he missed it. I mean, to me, you'll take it. And to me, I don't think the Saints got lucky. I think the Saints earned the win. I really do. I think if we would have got the ball first in OT, I think we would have won the game. I think the way the offense was playing, we played the game plan we wanted to play. We executed it very, very good. And then we got the win because of it. We came into the Baltimore's house, played Baltimore-style game, which is what we wanted to do, and win. To me, it shows a lot about this team. Number one, shows that they can win in a ton of different ways. If they want to win on a shootout, they can win on a shootout. They want to win on a grindout game, they can win on a grindout game. If they're going to ball you out, they'll blow you out. I just feel like they can win so many different ways that it's going to be tough to beat them, you know, in crunch time, in the playoffs. You know, it seems like they're just finding ways to win. They're not playing perfect. We'll get into the, you know, the positives, negatives. But, I mean, the way they're able to grind out wins is, you know, especially early in the season, getting off to the start, it's very, very noteworthy, and I think it could be very big going into the season. Just some other notes. Drew Brees throws, you know, for now 501 passing touchdowns. He threw two to go from 499 to 501. His 500 touchdown pass was to Ben Watson, you know, just right at the goal line, a little play action over the top to Ben Watson. You know, very easy score. He was wide open. And you know, I feel like just coming in, I feel like, you know, Breezy probably knew he was going to get this record. But, I mean, he won this win. And it's, I don't think he really cares about, you know, the records, but I think he wanted this win for multiple reasons. Obviously, he wanted the 500 touchdown, and he wanted to beat the Ravens to get all 32 teams won, and that's obviously our next note. So he's beaten all 32 teams, including the Saints. He's only one of three quarterbacks to do that, with Brett Favre and Peyton Manning. That puts him in select company there. Just to me, that's extremely impressive. To beat every team in the NFL, you know, you don't really get the chance. Some people don't get the chance to do that, you know, Brady, because he's only played with one team. You know, so not many quarterbacks get the chance to do it. He did, and he accomplished it. That, I mean, just another the feather in the cap of Drew Brees. I mean, and you know, look, the media is going to probably say it means nothing and stuff, but to me, that's a big part of his legacy to beat all 32 teams. It's impressive. It's just very, very impressive. I mean, another thing, I know I said it earlier, another note, Saints are 3-0 on the road, and that's really big. Now they're playing on another home road game against the Vikings. I think, you know, I really feel like they're going to play with something to prove in that game. And it's going to be kind of like, they say it's not a revenge game. I think the Saints here come out with a different, you know, type of, you know, energy that should be like, you know, we got to take care of business against the Vikings here. Sunday Night Football, everyone's watching. I think everyone's going to want to see it there. And then finally, our last note is that we came in talking about, in this preview, we talked about how good Baltimore's defensive line was, how they got a ton of sacks, most in the league. They only got one sack on Drew Brees. And that, you know, just give it to the offensive line. That was great. I mean, Sean Payton, a quote that he said, they will not give up 11 sacks. He said he'd stand up on a chair and say they will not give up 11 sacks. He knew that he was going to play aggressive. Just that quote was aggressive, you know. And what that game was, it was complete, you know, Sean Payton's masterpiece. Looking at it the way he would, you know, go for it on fourth down multiple times, you know, give Taysom Hill opportunities. You know, obviously we'll get into later when we talk about the coaching, but this is just, you know, vintage Sean Payton at his best. I mean, the way he's coaching at the top of his game. Brees is playing at the top of his game, and that's going to make the Saints really hard to beat there. So now let's get onto the storylines. I mean, look, first we had coming off the bye, was there going to be a little slumpish play? There wasn't really, you know. I mean, this team, they played very, very good. They played the Baltimore style of football and won. You know, they came off the bye just as, you know, Sean Payton wanted to. I mean, that moves them to, I think, now 7-2 since 2009, since the bye week, coming off the bye week. So that's very, very good there. So I feel like just, you know, they played very good. They played up to the task. And then the improved secondary, can it continue? To me, okay, it played better. It's playing better every week. It's not 100% there. I think, you know, we're talking about Patrick Peterson. They may need to go outside and get Patrick Peterson, even though Sean Payton feels like the answer is inside. I mean, maybe, you know, looking outside is the answer there. But just looking at it, I feel that, you know, look, Kenny Crawley, it's not like he played really bad. But you got to give, what is this, some of these schemes by Dennis Allen? Rushing two guys on the, you know, would have been game-tying touchdown. On the other touchdown against, you know, that Flacco threw to their rookie tight end, Mark Andrews. So just looking at it, you know, that's what they have to change. You know, they're not blitzing enough. I don't think they're played extremely conservative. And I think that, you know, look, Lattimore looks great again. I mean, I put him on my game repack, the standout defensive player. As much as I think Demario Davis played really good, he was also helped by, you know, this defensive line is giving him a lot of gaps to shoot through. He's so fast. Lattimore, you know, basically is out there on an island. There's really no that many talented defensive backs out there. You know, Marcus Williams not out there at the end of the half, the second half, excuse me. But, you know, he was balling against, you know, Michael Crabtree was a very, very good receiver. Crabtree, I think, ended up with 5 catches, but then they kind of switched off each other because, you know, then, you know, until the final drive, I think that they kind of, he went to, you know, John Brown. He's been just getting, they haven't even throwing the ball to him, you know, or around him. They, you know, did challenge him a couple times, and, you know, it was about half and half there. He should have had a pick in this one, really 2 picks he should have had. He dropped one, and then one was coming over, ranging over. It was him and Marcus Williams. I think that's how Marcus Williams got hurt, and then, you know, they're both ranging over, and they banged into each other. So I think, looking at that, I mean, I think he played really, really good there, but I just don't think the secondary played amazing there. Ken Crawley and PJ Williams, it's not that they were playing that bad. I feel like the scheme by Dennis Allen was not that good. And then also just the third and final storyline that we were coming in from the pregame was that, can we keep Brees clean? And we did that, you know, only 1 sack. And, you know, look, you got to give it to the O-line depth. I said it would be really telling on Twitter. I put out a tweet that, you know, that we're going to really see what the O-line's made of. And you got to give it up to Cameron Tom. And, you know, even Joshua Liebisch when he played, but when he came out, Cameron Tom, you know, he did an amazing job. And his, you know, only, you know, first couple of, you know, minutes of play in an actual NFL game. And he played really, really good against a really tough defensive line. So got to give it up to him. Look, he wasn't perfect, but he was good enough to get the victory, and that's what we want to see out of him. So now on to some position grades and group grades here. So first, looking at QB, I mean, you got to give Brees an A. He played a very, very good game. He played basically everything Sean Payton was told him to do. He did with flying colors. I mean, look, obviously the stat line doesn't, you know, blow the doors off of anyone, but, you know, he was still had a very, very good completion percentage, over 70%. He had 212 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. You know, got sacked once, QBR of 90, QB rating of 115. I think that's just, it's good. He played a solid, solid game. He outplayed Joe Flacco, which was big. I mean, just looking at it, to me, I mean, he did everything he needed to do. He made some spectacular plays. He threw one to Tre'Quan Smith coming out. He rolled out. They were perfect throw. No one says that. People say he has no arm strength anymore. Look at that throw. That was an amazing throw. Same throw to Michael Thomas. It was like an 8-yard throw, but he was getting pulled down, and he still threw it 8 yards. Ended up picking up a first down there. But I feel like that's the kind of things he's able to do. I mean, he's been very elusive. He was elusive the last game. And, you know, as much as, you know, this secondary is, you know, the whole defense, the Baltimore defense is very, very good, and he was able able to, especially in the fourth quarter, basically march right down and score 17 points in only one quarter. So he did good there. On to, you know, the skill position players. To me, you had a couple people, you know, step up and a couple people kind of regress a little bit. Cameron Meredith was nowhere to be seen. He got completely shut down by, you know, this Ravens defense, you know, by Brandon Carr and others. And you know, he was getting better and better each week. And then this week he went back down to no catches. I mean, Traquan Smith, he was pretty good there, but he wasn't amazing as he was in the Redskins game. I don't think anyone's expecting him to do that, but if he can put up around 5 catches, 50 yards, and maybe sometimes at a touchdown, I would see that's very, very good for him there. Michael Thomas was amazing as always. I think he had one drop in the beginning, but you know, he ended up with like 7 catches, 70 yards in TD. You know, that's solid. You know, if he can do that every week, you know, I would love him to get 100, you know, yards, but he's still doing pretty good there. Now on to the running backs, looking at Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram. They did all right here. Kamara did much better. I mean, he looked much better. He had a TD, and especially in the fourth quarter, he was running the ball really good. Ingram really got nothing, you know, done on the ground. Taysom Hill had more, you know, rushing yards than him. Taysom Hill was very, very good running the ball. He actually had a toss play, one for like 15 yards. You know, he's just that Swiss Army knife, great player. We'll talk about him a little later with the special teamers, but I mean, he's just, you know, the way he's able to do, you know, certain things is just great there. And then tight ends, you got to give it to two players on the tight ends. You know, Ben Watson showed up against his former team, you know, like 6 catches, 45 yards on a TD. That's exactly what we need at Ben Watson. And he stepped up today, and that's why our offense was successful there. He played a very, very good game. And then Dan Arnold, who had 2 catches in this game, I think he had like about 30 yards. I mean, look, for him, he reminds me of a very young Jimmy Graham. Graham's first year was in 2010, and he was like all right. You know, look, he ended up with probably like 500 yards, 400 yards. And I think, you know, if Arnold played enough, he could kind of come on that same track. Obviously, he didn't play the first, you know, 4 or 5 games, so, you know, he's not going to probably end up with that much yards. But if he could be on the same track, that'd be really, really good. I think he's a similar build to Graham, and he could be a really good receiving tight end there. I mean, just the overall skill positions, I'm going to give them about a B+. I think that's how they played. I mean, I just feel that, look, they didn't do anything amazing, but they played good enough to win. A couple guys stepped up when needed to be, which raises them above a B to a B+. So I think that's what, you know, they're looking at there. Onto the O-line, you got to give them an AA-. They protected Breeze the whole game. A lot of people stepped up, like Cameron Tom, like we said earlier. I think they just played a very, very solid game. You know, you got to give it to people on the edge, like Taron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk, because they completely stopped their two edge rushers. And, you know, just especially in that second half, when they knew we were passing down 10 and we were able to give Breeze, you know, basically clean pockets most of the time there. Onto the defense, and this is where, look, I don't think we had a bad defensive game. I think we had an average good enough to win, and I think we're, you know, look, it may not be good enough to win a Super Bowl, but it was good enough to win this game. And I think this team's gonna have to play better here. Defensive line didn't really play that good. They played good against the run, so yeah, you gotta give it to them there. I think they ended up with 1 sack, and that was by Alex Okafor. He played a good game today, but, you know, Marcus Davenport was nowhere to be found after a really, really good game against the Redskins. Cameron Jordan didn't record a sack, but he was still good getting pressure. He was, you know, did a very, very good job. I think he also had a batted ball there. You know, that's the same with Okafor. Okafor also had a, you know, a batted ball. Looking at, you know, other guys there, Sheldon Rankins played a, you know, pretty solid game there. Stopped the run really good. Got to give it to the whole people stopping the run, because, you know, they're missing Taylor Stallworth, who was their best player against the run, and they completely stopped their rushing attack. That just shows how this Saints defense is one of the top, you know, rushing defense in the league. You know, obviously number one in average yards per carry. That's just what you want to see. I mean, they are a pretty good running team. You know, Alex Collins, Buck Allen, they're not, you know, awful. They're not amazing, but, you know, they stopped them under, you know, 4 yards carry, just about 3 yards carry. They were at 3.3, I believe. So that's exactly where you want to be there. Saints linebackers, they played really, really good. You got to give it to these guys. I'm going to give them an A- because, or, you know, you'd even go up to an A. I would say A- here, because the way they've been playing, number one, they're completely stopping the run. DeMario Davis, I mean, look, he would have got my, you know, 1A defensive standout. Probably should put both of them on there. He's just plays amazing. So fast to get to guys sometimes. He had a huge third down tackle when doing that. So I feel like, you know, he can be a huge piece in the playoffs, because, you know, you're going to need that, you know, physicalness and stuff like that, and he completely brings it. AJ Klein played a very, very good game, and then Anzalone and Manti Te'o also played very, very good. The way they were able to just very fast linebacking corner out, you know, they're able to make tackles. Anzalone had a really good play on, like, I think the final drive or second last drive that kind of saved. It was on Lamar Jackson made a nice play, I think, yeah. I think it was on Lamar Jackson. He made a nice play there. That was big. But, I mean, just looking at it, I think he's in, you know, he's definitely a project. I think Teo's better. I think Teo will play over him. But, you know, if he can come in when he's in his packages and he could be a very good player there, I think that's enough from the linebackers. You know, there, I mean, look, we thought this group was going to be the worst group. They have came out and be the best group right now. And especially on that defense, they've been very, very strong there. And then on to the cornerbacks, you know, talking about coming in, how we were wrong coming into the season, how we were wrong with the linebackers, we're also wrong with the cornerbacks. We thought they were going to be very, very good, and they just have not been. And today, I mean, look, they got better. You know, they showed better. They really didn't really get that beat that badly. I think it was more scheme-based. I know Rev Deuce Wendham said the same thing, and I completely agree with him. I mean, you got to give it to, why is Dennis Allen, he's telling, I think that's what he's telling Crawley, just don't get beat over the top. But, you know, I think it was a fourth down, it was the first fourth down on John Brown. Crawley just sprints back, and John Brown just stops, easy first down catch. It was like on a fourth and eight, so, I mean, that cannot happen there. I mean, looking at what with Dennis Allen, only rushing two guys, that's not helping your secondary. It's just not, you know, and, you know, good, not even good, you know, average to good quarterbacks are going to get the ball if you have all the time in the world. They're going to get the ball out, and they're going to get the touchdowns, they're going to get, you know, completed passes. That's just what quarterbacks are going to do with a lot of time. I think I'm going to give him a B minus. Because I think a lot of more played very, very strong. Crawley, PJ Williams, they didn't play bad, but they didn't play good enough to win. I think this team really is missing Patrick Robinson. But just looking at the safeties, Marcus Williams got out late. Von Bell didn't really play that good either. Same with Kirk Coleman, came in really on the final drive, played a lot, didn't really play good there. And just the whole Saints 2-minute offense, either in the big end of the first half or the end of the second half, they were just not good, and they haven't been good since really the end of last season. And something's got to change there, and I think they need more veterans there. And I think they're going to have to get someone in the, you know, trade deadline. If it's not Patrick Peterson, it doesn't have to be Patrick Peterson. It just has to be a veteran presence there. It's going to help them at end of games, because this is, it's starting to be, you know, getting very, very annoying. How now you're kind of expecting them to go down the field and maybe win this game. Looking at it, like, go back to week 17 of last year, the Bucs, they gave up a touchdown. Even against the Panthers almost came back and won that playoff game in the wild card round. You know, we blew it against the Vikings. That was obviously not good either. So looking at it, it's just that final drive. We have to get over our fears, and I still don't think we've done that. You know, maybe that can change next week and the weeks after that, but I feel like, you know, that's got to change. So, I mean, that's obviously a big thing there. I mean, looking at coaching, special teams, A+, you know, for both categories. I know we mushed them into one, but coaching, Sean Payton, what a game plan, great in-game calls. I mean, just a lot of, you know, really good stuff from him. You know, you see that, you know, that's that fire and passion that Sean Payton has, it's completely back. I mean, those plays with Taysom Hill, I think there was only one bad play, and that was a Taysom Hill on the fourth and goal there, or it was a whatever near the end zone. I don't know if it was exactly a fourth and goal, but it was fourth and short, and, you know, we tried to do a pitch play. I don't think we should do that, you know, go to the outside, and especially how big Taysom is. He can pick up 2 yards if you need him be. He's really not going to get pushed backwards. But besides that, you know, a lot of great things, you know, just the way he out-coached one of the best coaches in the league, finally beat John Harbaugh. So just a lot of good stuff there. Special teams is amazing. You know, Taysom Hill, I mean, just talk about him in the special teams. You know, he's returning kicks. He's, you know, of running fake punts. He's, you know, running the option. He's taking pitch plays. He's lining up as a wide receiver to block. You know, I mean, well, yeah, I can't wait for him. If they're going to ever call it, you know, him throwing a touchdown to Breeze, that's what I want to see there. That would be, I mean, that would be amazing play. So I think it's just a matter of time. And, you know, his snaps are increasing every week. And I think this Taysom Hill experiment has helped the Saints more than hurt. I think, you know, there's kind of a debate about that, but I think it has helped the Saints. I mean, here, obviously had a huge drive, and that huge drive wouldn't have happened that first drive, even though we didn't get points, we set the tone, and that wouldn't have happened without Taysom Hill there. But final thoughts on this game. I mean, really, really good victory on the road. And, you know, I feel like this Saints team in the playoffs, if they get to the playoffs, which, I mean, look, I'm not going to jinx anything, but if they get to the playoffs, this is the type of games you want to play, and it gets you ready for the playoffs. Because, you know, you're going to have to play these types of games. I mean, these grinded out wins, and I feel like the Saints can do it in a lot of ways. They need a shootout. If they can win games like this, I feel like they can win games like this. And especially, like, these teams, such a physical team, they're going to have to match the physicality of the Ravens, and they completely did that from, you know, the first snap of this game. And I feel like that was really, really big. Really good win. And I think, you know, look, 5 wins in a row, you're 5-1. You're coming really, really strong. next week going into Minnesota, and just, you know, that's going to be that game's kind of personal, I feel like, to the Saints fans. And I feel like, you know, this team's going to come out with a, you know, huge chip on their shoulder, a lot of confidence coming into this one. You know, just look a little ahead to the Vikings. I mean, they're, I don't think, as good as they were last year. Defense definitely not as good. So I feel like, you know, their pass defense has been, you know, beaten in a lot of ways. So I feel like hopefully Drew Brees can capitalize on that. But I feel like, you know, I think that, you know, look, we're going to go in there. I think we're going to try to play a similar game like we did against the Ravens. And, you know, hopefully we can pull that one out too. But now on to our Who Dat Nation fan questions. So our first and only question is from Saints fan from NY. And he asked, projected record after the bye. So here, I mean, look, I had the Saints going 12-4 at the beginning of the season. I had them going 4-1 into the bye. So, I mean, the easy answer would be 12-4 after. So, I mean, look, but I feel like with this team, I feel like, I mean, I can maybe even see them going one up or maybe one down. I can see really both ways, but I think around 12-4, and I think I'm going to stick with that. You know, maybe they get another win, maybe not, but I feel like coming into this game, I feel like this team is just coming out of the Ravens game, excuse me. I feel like this team is ready to win in many different types of games. I mean, now all this team has to really do is with that secondary. If they ever get that secondary to where the linebackers are and the defensive line are, I mean, this team's going to be really good. Also, they have to start taking away the ball. I think that's going to be really big. Getting turnovers is going to be big. But I feel like around 12-4, I think that's where we'll be, plus or minus a couple games there. Probably plus or minus one, I'd say. But I wouldn't be surprised. But right now, looking at 5-1, you're obviously extremely happy about that. They've very tough schedule coming up. You know, looking at, you know, we had the Ravens, you know, next week we have the Vikings in Minnesota, then we have home against the Rams, which I think is going to be a dogfight of a game, then we go on the road against the Bengals, it's kind of like a letdown trap game, then we have to go, and then we play at home against the Eagles, and then we have to play Thanksgiving against the Falcons. That stretch is going to be very, very tough, but I feel like this team, I think they have, you know, the power to get through that stretch with a very, very good record, solid record. So, I mean, look, we'll get into more about, you know, the Vikings game, you know, next episode. But I feel like, you know, I think that's where we're going to stand there. So, with all that said, I think it's time to wrap up this podcast. So, if you like this podcast, you like this episode, and you haven't followed us already on, you know, Twitter, Instagram, iTunes, you can follow us on Twitter at the Who Dat Dis, on Instagram at Who Dat Discussion. And then on iTunes, we are at the Who Dat Discussion on there. Subscribe as well as rate, you know, comment, do all that fun stuff. Also on Podomatic, we are at the Who Dat Discussion, and then also Google Play, Spotify, and then also YouTube, we are at the Who Dat Discussion on there. Please, on all those sites, please subscribe, you know, like, leave comments, all that stuff is just really, really good, you know, to help, you know, share the podcast. I'm just been really happy. These last two episodes have been, you know, amazing. The support that we've got has been huge. I mean, these last two episodes have been, you know, basically one of the most watched videos of this whole podcast, these last two. So I just, you know, I got to say thank you again to the Who Dat Nation for, you know, making us a little more popular. Now we're just, you know, hoping to grow, you know, more. This is now our 25th episode, so that's obviously quite the milestone here. And I think, you know, where we are is just, it's really strong. And, you know, we're going to be looking on to more games, more Saints games, and all that fun stuff. And also our next episode, I mean, I left it for the end, but, you know, in our next episode, we're going to have a joint episode with the Who Dat and NYC podcast, you know, a couple of people from New York talking about some Saints football. That would be very, very fun. Can't wait to do that. You know, that's just, look, I love, you know, being with other Saints podcasters, you know, talking about the games and stuff. It's just what I want to do. And just, it's a big dream of mine, you know, to, you know, talk with other Saints podcasters like I've had in the past with other ones, and now with the Who Dat and NYC. I just can't wait for that. And you know, this whole, you know, experience has just been amazing. And I just want to say thank you to the Who Dat Nation for, you know, accepting my podcast with all the rest of great podcasts out there. I mean, just all great stuff there. But I mean, hope, you know, great win this week, you know, against the Ravens. Hope we have another great, you know, week of practice, and going into the Vikings game, that'll be really big. You know, I think we'll hear a little more rumors about the trade deadline as that approaches. But with all that said, I want to say thank you, prove them right, and Who Dat.